Senior Focus. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. I'm the presenter for this edition of Senior Focus. And with us today is Sally Hughes, who is a former teacher and health promoter who's joined our broadcasting team. And I'm interviewing her today about changes to housing, special character areas, and because there's a number of issues on the table at the moment, and she's over these issues because Sally heads the Character Coalition, co-chairs it, and it's a group of 60 plus groups in Auckland. So it's a sizable advocacy group, and welcome, Sally.
Thank you, Anne-Marie.
And it's really great to have you with us. Let's kick off with the front page of the Herald on Saturday evening, which highlighted a situation that's arisen, and it was an opportunity for Chris Bishop to call out silly nonsense and be flamboyant about attacking what he saw as overreach of the council. I wondered if you'd like to comment yourself on how you've looked at this as a group.
Sure. So we were involved in that the Herald journalist called me and interviewed me about this. So I'm quoted in this piece in the Herald, and it all came about from a homeowner in Mount Eden, in the special character area of Mount Eden, who replaced his double-hung villa windows with aluminium casement windows. The council became aware of this and have issued him an abatement notice, which means that he has to either obtain a resource consent or he has to replace the windows with wooden windows that are in keeping with the villa. Now, on the face of it, this seems quite extreme, and I would imagine quite a lot of people would say, oh, that's going too far, he shouldn't have to do that. But the situation is, in those special character areas, that there are rules about such things, for a reason, which I'll explain in a bit. But he didn't contact the council and went ahead without approval. So in some ways he sort of put himself in this difficult position, because if he had called the council, there would have been an easy solution for him. The council know of a number of glaziers who are experienced in putting double glazing into those old villa windows. Of course, that was his reason for making the change. He wanted to have double glazing in those windows. But that can be done within the original wooden casements. So, yeah, he would have been able to do that, and it wouldn't have required a resource consent. It does cost a little bit more, but that's the premium that you pay, I guess, for living in a special character area. He must have known about this because it's on the property records of every property in a special character area. On the limb, it says there are restrictions for what you can do, particularly to the front of your house. So, yes, it's an unfortunate example, but it is one that shows how special those special character areas are.
Thank you for outlining the situation clearly. And Sally, it makes sense that if you have these rules, that they actually have to be applied fairly and unanimously across every situation. You can't just allow people to do what they like when they like, because there's no point in having rules.
Well, exactly right, Anne-Marie, and that is the case with the special character areas, because they are a group. It's not just an individual home. The special character areas have recognised that all the houses in that area contribute to that special character. And as you say, if you let one person do something to the front of their house, then that's a slippery slope, and that detracts from the whole area. Mm. The The council did a very good piece of research a couple of years ago that discovered that special character areas have a premium of about 4.3% per square acre. So that means if you are selling a house in a special character area, you will get a premium price for that house because it's in a special character area. So what that means for a situation like this, excuse me, is that if somebody degrades, does something like, you know, replace the windows or whatever other thing they might do, they're not only degrading their own property, but they are contributing to devaluation of their neighbours' properties as well. It affects the whole special character area if someone does something. So that's why it's really important that those rules are adhered to and that people do observe those rules and contact the council if they want to do anything with their house in a special character area. The other thing about the special character areas is that people buy into them because they like the look of them, they like the character and the trees and, you know, how the houses look, but they also like the certainty of knowing what can and cannot be done to the other houses in the area. So they know that they're not going to suddenly get a nine-storey apartment block next to them without knowing about it, as can happen in other areas of Auckland. And many people have rung my group about situations like that and said, oh, we didn't even know. But that's the problem. There is nothing in the rules that say neighbours need to be contacted in other areas of Auckland. That's what makes the special character areas precious, and people buy into those areas because they know what they can expect.
Yes, and as the city changes and certain parts of the city become more intensely densely populated and more apartments go up, these particular areas will be precincts that will be highly valued in terms of tourism. As we've seen around the world, areas that have kept their wooden buildings, like in San Francisco and so on, we know in Oregon, Portland, Oregon, and other such places, we know that they are a draw card for tourists. They are an attraction that has an economy attached.
Yes, and in fact, Auckland's special character areas have been shown in another good research project done by someone from the architectural school, that he looked at all those areas that you mentioned and some others around the world, and our collection is the largest and the best quality of any other collection of wooden bungalows and villas anywhere in the world. So we do actually have a world-class treasure, and I agree with you, we should be celebrating that and advertising it, and already people do come here as tourists to see it, we know that, but we should be making more of it, I think, as Auckland, and instead of trying to rip them down and put apartment buildings there instead, we should be really treasuring this wonderful asset that we've got in Auckland.
Yes, and then we come to the way in which the legal framework looks after the character areas or doesn't. And we've had quite a degree of uncertainty coming onto the table with regards to decisions around special character areas. We've got attitudes on high. We've got people who seem to be hell-bent on getting rid of these special character areas. We have got legal decisions coming down the tubes from Parliament that in certain other areas of policy that are distinctly extreme and retrospectively applied. And that's very scary when we have a government actually changing the pay equity legislation that people worked so hard to get in place over quite a few years, and disadvantages a large group of the population who are doing very tough work under fairly demanding conditions and low pay. And it just seems to be crazy that we've got this legislation that's being passed without even any public input or comment to the Select Committee. Now, if this can happen over something like pay conditions and people's working lives affected and their family well-being, I mean, what can happen to houses?
No, you're right. The special character areas in particular have been under pressure for a number of years. They were much larger areas under the district plans before the amalgamation of the city. During that unitary plan process, they were significantly reduced, and then they have been reduced again under Plan Change 78, which the council had to put together in to support the new medium density housing legislation that the Labor government brought in with support from National. Now, this National government has said they will repeal the MDRS, which is good. But on the other hand, the Minister of Housing, Chris Bishop, has said that he wants to significantly reduce council's ability to have special character areas. And I personally think that he wants to get rid of them. He's of the opinion that people should be allowed to do whatever they like within their property without any reference to anyone else. So to me, that is a very individualistic value. And we don't live as individuals. We live in communities. And it's vital that we have care and consideration for our neighbours, but for our wider community as well. And I don't believe an individual owns a neighbourhood. And I don't believe that one generation should be able to change the history that's developed in a country. And if we get rid of all our heritage and character-filled houses, then that's depriving future generations of enjoying that character. I mean, we had very, very lax protections for our built environment in New Zealand. There are, in other countries, the regulations are much stricter. In fact, in some places in the UK, you can't even paint your house a different colour that other people mightn't like. So we've got quite a lot of freedom in that sense. And what little protection we do have for our neighbourhoods now, I think it's really important that we keep those protections in place.
Yes, I think it's particularly important while the country's in a economic tight squeeze, where people may be tempted to do things that they otherwise wouldn't do, or be tempted to sell things and adapt things that they otherwise wouldn't touch, being at the mercy, perhaps, of large financial interventions from people overseas, people who want to come here and create what they want to create without any reference to any history or any community input. And I think that this is it's a soul-destroying situation. It's a situation where you lose meaning, you lose the fabric of society, because so much spirit is involved in the feel of a place, and that when you can reach back into the past and into what ancestors did and who lived in the street and how they lived and so on, when you've got that touchstone capacity that's built into people's memories that can be passed on, you have a richness. You have something that is vibrant and that brings people together to celebrate what we have here. And if you take that away, if you dig into that and you have any old structures going up, faceless concrete apartment blocks. Yes, I know some can be very attractive, but and some can be tiled and some can have quite a considerable appeal, but that's not everyone, and that's and we've got such a raft of new buildings going up that are pretty characterless, and to see them taking over areas is upsetting to people as it is. But if they start taking over character areas, I think we will lose much of the spirit of Auckland.
Yes, it is absolutely correct that everybody deserves a warm, dry home, and I think that it's really important that new building does happen and that people have the ability to purchase homes. I think we do have a housing problem in New Zealand, and the Character Coalition has never been anti-intensification or new development. But our character, special character areas are just 2.5% of our urban built environment. That's a very small percentage. And so, yes, let's keep those and let's build warm, dry homes for other for people, and particularly around railway stations. That's a good place for some intensification. The Minister Bishop has been talking quite a bit about Kingsland, and saying, oh, you know, the special character is stopping intensification in Kingsland. Well, my vice chair and I took a walk around Kingsland last week, and there is definitely some beautiful streets of special character in Kingsland, but there is also a lot of available land for apartment buildings or new development close to the railway station in Kingsland as well. So yes, I'd like the minister to come and actually have a look, because I don't think what he's saying is quite true.
Yeah, well, this is the danger when you have populist politics and wild, frenzied opinions shoot from the hip, and never mind the actual reality. This kind of style of politics is actually degrading communities. It's actually inviting the lowest common denominator into the conversation without actually reference to solid evidence. And I think this deterioration in our democracy is to our detriment. I think it's a real issue that we have to organise. We have to push back, and we have to have very tight messaging so that we're not pigeonholed and placed in the opposite corner of the ring while someone boxes us out. We need to be very careful about how we present things, but I think that we need to open up to having a decision about, in the planning space, are we going to have policies that actually direct the broad strategic approach of what we want to end up with as a city, what we want our city to look like in the future, and what do we want it to be like for people living in it, and not be subject to outsiders, people who don't live in Auckland, dictating to us.
And I think it's really unfortunate when something as essential as housing is turned into a political football. I feel very like you do, that housing in particular is something that everybody has to have and everybody's entitled to, and it shouldn't be used to score points politically.
Yes, well, we're on the same page there. But let's look at another decision that's come out recently, and it's one that I said we would follow up on earlier, where I interviewed you about a house in Epsom that was subject to a court decision that said the owner could demolish it. And this particular home was in a special character area, and you're not supposed to be demolishing any home in a special character area, I understand. So would you like to comment on this fresh decision that's come from the High Court?
Yes. Well, unfortunately, we didn't win that appeal. The judge ruled that no mistakes had been made in the Environment Court, and so the decision to be able to demolish that house stands. So that's quite unfortunate. But in the judgment that the judge released on the case, the thing that we were most worried about was the precedent that sent that was created by that, because it would mean that other people would think they could demolish their homes in a special character area. So that was one of the reasons the Character Coalition took the case to the High Court, was because we believe that precedent has been set. So in his judgment, Justice Muir said no, that does not create a precedent. And I think probably the easiest way for me to describe what he said was just to read his own words. So this is Justice Muir saying, "The effect of the decision is not to license demolition in any case where a proposed replacement building makes a positive contribution to streetscape character. Even an architecturally outstanding new building may not justify demolition of an existing building which makes a significant contribution to the special character values of an area." So that, we felt that was really good, that he has said, no, this is not a precedent. Don't take that from this judgment. So even though we lost the case, we feel that Justice Muir has made it very clear that it is not a precedent, and other people seeking demolitions in special character areas can't use it as a precedent.
Yes, and thank you, Sally, for that, because, you know, it was of interest to find out what was happening and how this was evolving. So I guess what we can conclude there is that being vigilant and taking action can deliver some outcomes. You might not get all of the outcomes you want, but it's much, it's a much better situation than if nothing had been done.
Absolutely, yes. We felt that's why we needed to take it to the High Court, because if that judgment had stood, as you say, just as it was, then it would have been used as a precedent. So we feel very strongly that we did the right thing by taking it to the High Court. I do have difficulty with the fact that ordinary citizens have to do this sort of work to protect their environment, though. I'm hoping that the council will also take note of what Justice Muir said, and that they won't give permission for houses and special character areas to be demolished in the future.
I do think that we sort of have silos at Auckland Council that tend to work against the best outcomes for communities, because in the community, the thriving community space, we can have really good statements about what they want to promote, and in the housing silo, we have other pressures. And in the infrastructure silo, we have even other pressures. So and nobody seems to talk to each other between these silos. And that, it's, people are becoming more aware that this is a really serious issue for Auckland, that we need to get higher up the tree. We need to get conversations that are more joined up and more about the strategic future of Auckland. and we need to be more focused on that, and more tightly so, and more determined to really take charge in a way that means standing up for Auckland.
Yes, I agree.
So, tell me, does the Character Coalition have a plan now for moving forward for how people who've got a real love of their character areas, perhaps they weren't involved in the court case, but who want to do something, want to make sure that they can stand up and that they can do things practically that will strengthen character areas, what would the Character Coalition like people to be doing?
Well, I think just as with many other things, writing to your councillor and to your MP, talking about how you support the preservation of special character areas and how you don't want to see those special character areas reduced or completely gone. We have a number of Auckland MPs who are not very engaged in this topic. So whichever area of Auckland you live in, writing to your MP and saying you don't support the destruction of these areas, but also to your councillors, write to your councillors, because they will have some input over Plan Change 78 and whether or not the special character areas continue to be supported, whether if Plan Change 78 is taken away. You get people writing to their MPs and their councillors to say they support special character.
And the website, you sometimes put things on the website, so you give us that website, please?
Yep, sure. It's www.charactercoalition.org.nz.
Great. And I look forward...
Thank you. People can sign up to our newsletter, and that way they can stay informed as well.
Yes, I think that's a really good idea, because there are some suburbs like Birkenhead, for example, that have some wonderful character homes, but some of them are dotted and pepper-potted around. They are in fringe situations where they're not well supported by a decent streetscape of other character homes necessarily, so they are much more at risk, and so we need to look at each situation suburb by suburb. So that means you really need to get the input from the Character Coalition, but also work locally with local people at the local level, with your local board reps, the people who are elected to look after your area and look after the interests that have already been part of the policy planning in the past. And so we come to the end of our session today, and thank you to the listeners who are supporting our program. And it's really great that we have a lot of good things happening and we're moving forwards. I have a team working. We're going out to on the 15th of June to the stall at the Trust Arena in Henderson, and so we'll be flagshipping our program to the senior community and their families. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll tune in next time. Thank you, Sally.
Thank you.
And we look forward to having you with us lots of times in the future.
Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.
Ni hao. Konnichiwa.
Bonjour.
Kia ora.
Planet FM.
If you want a drink, it's your business.